This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels. Welcome to another edition of Road School Moms Live. I'm one of your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino, full-time RVing mom to four kiddos. And hold on, one of my kiddos is already talking to me. Yes, in a minute. And co-founder of FullTimeFamilies.com, which is the resource for your full-time RVing family. As you can see right now, I am a full-time family, and I don't even get a break on Sunday nights. So I'm so happy that you joined us tonight from wherever in the world you are. We've got a really great show with author Shasta Grimes, who's going to be talking about her book about do-overs. I'm looking forward to being joined by my co-host, Mary Beth Goff, a road trip teacher, who will be here in a few minutes. But until she arrives, I will say that I am coming to you live from beautiful northern Utah. We pulled out of the Bryce Canyon area yesterday and pulled into Provo area, and I am looking at the most amazing snow-capped peaks I've ever seen. It was a stunning 70 degrees today, and we played out at the park, and we did some geocaching. And now weather's getting chillier, but this view is just beyond stunning. Mary Beth, are you with me?
Hey, I'm right here. Sorry. I had trouble with the dial-in. I couldn't get logged in. I was frantic. I was punching numbers, and I don't know what I was doing wrong. So, sorry I'm late, but I'm excited to be here.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, me too. So continue with your beautiful scenery.
No, you go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners.
Sure. Well, this is Mary Beth Goff, your road trip teacher, author and creator of roadtripteacher.com. We chronicle our travels over at Diary of a Road Mom, chronicling our travels for me and our four kiddos that we also homeschool here on the road, and excited to be here with you from wherever in the world you are tonight.
Beautiful. And where in the world are you, Mary Beth?
I'm in Southwest Florida. I love it here. I can't, we can talk about this in a few minutes, but I don't know when we're leaving here. We're just so content, you know. Do you ever think that you're going to move and you've got all these plans to go here or there and then you just decide you just don't want to go? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. That happens to us a lot. And that's one of the major benefits of this lifestyle, right? You think you've got this plan is a four-letter word in our world,
right.
And then you just decide, you know what, I don't really need to move for whatever reason. This has all the things I need, and my family's really comfortable, so I don't need to move. So there's definitely an ebb and flow to our travels, where sometimes we're on the run, exhausted and burning gas, and other times we're just really happy to be stationary.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. The weather right here is beautiful. I love this area. In May and October, those are my two favorite months down here. It's just the days are hot, but the nights are coolish, and you know, the sunsets, you can't beat them here. I just love it here.
So I saw you posted your Road School Week on our Road School Moms Facebook group. Go ahead and explain these pictures to me.
Well, I'll tell you that I didn't realize it until I went to put our pictures together this week, but we have really been focusing on, and I think it really got started with our show last week talking about you and your Fitbit and this training for the 5K, and of course me and my kiddos have been talking about that for a while anyway. And it kind of got us on the right track of just, making some changes. We are just getting off of a 2 or 3 month crazy, crazy schedule, and we're kind of getting back into a normal routine, if you will. And I don't know, we just started focusing on health and eating better and all the things that we've been talking about. We just decided to put it in action, and it really coincided well with Tyler's curriculum over at Time for Learning right now is all about the human body. So I just decided that it might be a good time just to kind of stall everybody else's curriculum where we were at as far as anything formal we were doing and just take the whole crew and just do human body stuff. And so that's what we're doing this week. We kind of springboarded a little bit off of what Tyler was already doing. I put together some printables that are available actually over at the learning shop over at Road Trip Teacher, some free printables on health and vocabulary and things like that that are appropriate for K through probably eighth grade. And with that came our focus on keeping fit and how to eat better and how to cook better and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And it just, I don't know, it really worked out well. It goes along with our saying that road school rocks, right? Because it just, it was really like we could just take everything we were doing in a day and apply it to our road school and apply it to our life. And we just had a really easy week.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm looking at other road school moms picks from the group, and I see that the Holtz checked out the Liberty Bell and did some Philadelphia touring, including seeing the Rocky statue, which is pretty wild, and going to Yuengling Brewery. So good job for the Holtz. And let's see who else has posted pictures. The Houstons, she always posts pictures every week, and they have some exhausting weeks. This week, what they do. They made their own Italian-style pizza, witnessed a bald eagle feasting. I wonder if it was on said pizza. I'm not sure. Inspected some unique lava tree casts at Newberry Crater National Monument, toured a candy and chocolate factory, made our own cupcake creations, learned how to identify various bird eggs. Wow. And that was a road school. So, wow, what a week. What a week. And I see Sandy Reyes moved to a fam camp at the Air Force Academy over there in Colorado Springs. So that's really cool. Yeah. That was on my list, but I didn't make it there. And then we posted our pictures. As you know, we just left the Hamiltons after about 9 months of popping in and out of weaving our adventures together. We've left them for at least 3 months because they are coming to the Not Back to School Road School Convention. So I'm really excited to be seeing them in 3 months, but it's going to be a long stretch till we see them again. So we had a farewell dinner with them at this really cute old-fashioned soda fountain place. And we have snow this week, Mary Beth. Isn't that incredible?
I know, that is incredible. I've seen your pictures and a couple others that had snow in the background. It's so crazy.
Yeah. Still blows my mind. And right now, although there's no snow on the ground, I'm looking at these ginormous peaks outside of Provo, and they are really covered with snow, just absolutely covered. And it's so funny because I was in the exact location this time last year, and if there was just a tiny bit of a white cap on these mountains, that was it. And these mountains are now covered in snow. So it's a much colder summer, spring this year than it was last year.
Well, I was going to tell you that obviously we don't eat ducks for our healthy study that we're doing.
I was going to mention that.
Yeah, I forgot. I forgot about it. It was so fun. There's a whole family of ducks that live in this RV park that we're in. Of course, as you know, we come back here to this, or we have anyway, for the past couple of years back here to this same spot. And so one of the ducks had babies this week, and we didn't know she was going to have babies. We didn't get to see the eggs or anything like that, but we did get in on it very early on. A few of the ducks were still kind of wet when they come out, and they come waddling out with her early in the week, and we've watched them all week, and it's so funny. There's so few people here right now. As you know, all of the snowbirds have left this area, and most even full-time families that are down here, those are all gone also. And so there's very few people in our park. And so these little ducks have the run of the park. And today we were in the pool, and they literally come up. Of course, they sit right through the gate, and here they come. Right, they were walking around the pool, and they were so cute. It was so much fun. We've had a lot of fun watching the baby ducks this week. And, of course, what do you think has happened since we've seen the baby ducks? Of course, now I have two of my road schoolers doing a whole big lab book on ducks and their life cycle and all about ducks. So that's why ducks are in my road school picture this week.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, so cute. You know, I saw a little duckling all alone when we pulled into this campground yesterday, and it really took every ounce of my self-control not to go catch it and raise it in my RV.
Oh, my gosh.
But I did exhibit self-control, and so we still just have three dogs.
Oh, well, I'm just going to say that's good. That's funny.
Yeah, so we had a big week. We went to Bryce Canyon and we did a hike that was, you know, listed as a family hike, but I had my heart in my throat the entire time we did the hike. It was downhill on switchbacks. It was the hike to Cleveland Garden through the Hoodoos, which are those sandstone formations that Bryce is known for. And this trail was probably 4 feet long, 4 feet wide, but all loose gravel. So every time I took a step, I was slipping and the kids were slipping, and a lot of the hike was like this. This is not, you can't, don't, wait, stop, don't turn around, this is not funny. So,
right.
I was, you know, someone died in Yellowstone last year. And So hiking with mom was a sheer pleasure, I'm sure, with my kids. But it was really, really scary. And, you know, it reminds me that the national parks, which I love and adore and enjoy wholeheartedly and really wear out my park parents every year, they're not Disney World, right? This is not contrived.
Right.
This is not, you know, a fake adventure. This is the real deal. And when you take your kids there, even the easy hikes could be really exhausting and treacherous. So this is my public service announcement to be careful in the national parks. But while you're in the national parks, and Mary Beth, you have been dared. I haven't seen your video yet. We are
working on it.
Obviously do this on solid ground with good footing. Don't do this on the edge of a cliff. But we are daring our road school moms this year to dance in national parks. And we want you to make, you know, like a 30-second to 60-second video of how you feel about the national parks while you're dancing around, because these are American treasures. This is the 100th year of our national park system, and we wholeheartedly believe in celebrating these treasures that our children will be able to bring their children to in future years because of the National Park Initiative of Preservation and Conservation. So go ahead and go out and dance in national parks. We dare you to. And that's one of my pictures on this week is a meme that I made, and I made a little video, and me and two of my kiddos and one of the Southeast kiddos danced our heart out in Bryce, and we just can't wait to see where the other dances come from.
Well, the Year Dare to Dance Challenge couldn't have come at a better time for us, because we've kind of decided in our rig, we're kind of, you know how you kind of move out of one season into the other season, and then you kind of have, you know, not necessarily get a new theme, but, you know, you kind of get a new path or a little different feel for what you're doing. And we've decided that we're going to try to hit as many national parks as we can between now and the end of the fall. So that'll be a great way for us to incorporate Year Dare to Dance in the national parks. I'm excited about it. And I'm so jealous. You know that Utah and so many of the places that you've went in the last few weeks, I'm enjoying it from afar, because so many of those places are on my leap list. And Bryce Canyon specifically, oh my goodness, I just love that area. We looked at a campground there for sale one time back in the early part of our travels that was for sale in Bryce Canyon. I thought, oh, what a wonderful place to spend so many months out of the year. It's so beautiful there.
It is. It is really beautiful there, and they have a wonderful climate, especially when the rest of the Southwest is so hot due to the elevation up there. It's really quite comfortable, and actually it was quite cold last week because it snowed, but we did have a lovely time there. There's a lot to see. There's not only Bryce, but there's Red Rock Canyon and just a vast amounts of natural phenomenon to explore and hike through. And, you know, and you mentioned my Fitbit. As you know, I'm a slave to my Fitbit. It went from being obsessed to now being a full-on slave to my Fitbit. And I'm just loving being able to get all my steps in at these amazing vistas. So,
right, that's
really
awesome.
Cool.
You know, with your little public service announcement about don't be scared, be prepared, right? Isn't that our mantra?
And
the national parks,
our mantra.
right? It reminds me of, remember that show we had just a few months ago with survivalist expert Gregory Davenport and talked about preparing your family for outside adventures? I loved that show, and when you said that, it made me think of it. So for any of our listeners that missed that, you can visit iTunes and check out that episode. Actually aired on March the 16th of this year, preparing your family for outside adventures. And if you're on air with us tonight, then I'm going to post that right now in our chat so that you can check that out, because there's tons of great information in there.
Yes, I did love that show, too. And every time we get ourselves prepared, our Camelback backpacks also now have our signaling devices and all those tips and tricks you shared with us for successful hiking. And I'm just so happy that we had that show and we had that opportunity to interview him, just like I'm happy tonight. You know, this show that we're doing tonight about parenting do-overs reminds me in small part of our show with Sheila from Orange Rhino, because it's all about better parenting. And Shasta Grimes, the author of the book we're going to discuss tonight, is actually an STS mom and a road school mom. So I'm really excited. Let me click the switchboard so I can bring Shasta on. Shasta, you're live with Road School Moms. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm excited.
Hi, Shasta.
Hi there. How are you doing? I was going to tell you I had trouble getting on earlier, too, and I was getting a little nervous. It didn't want to take all my numbers, and I was like, oh, no, I can't get on.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad that it wasn't me, because I thought I was just – something was wrong, but it wasn't – I mean, I dial that number like I dial my own phone number. I know it so well, and I dial it in, and it just kept saying, I'm sorry. This is not the correct idea. I'm thinking, oh, goodness, Kimberly's on there talking to herself.
No, I was worried, but it finally let me through. So I was like, yay.
Well, I'm glad everyone's on the line. And I have no trouble talking to myself. I could do that all day long. But I'm much happier to talk to Shasta and Mary Beth tonight. Shasta, go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners and give us a little bit of your background while my dogs go absolutely crazy in the background.
Okay, well, I am new to road schooling and the full-time RVing. I am actually, we're in the process of selling our house. We have a contract on it. And I have 7 kids. Two of them are young adults now, so they're not living with us, and kind of unofficially adopted kids. We have 2 kids that just came from Haiti last summer, and then our 3 that we had. And so they actually are all really, really, really excited about the idea of RVing and traveling and learning about, the United States through hands-on learning. And so we're still in that adjustment phase of, you know, bringing new kids into the family. And so I am looking for different ways, one, to make money on the road. I do teach sign language online, so I have that. But I want to be able to be financially secure. And I was thinking, what can I do that could relate to other people and help other people? And I've looked into the Kindle ebook writing and publishing. And so I kind of put this together because it's something that's really important to me to be a good mom. And I'm one of those parents that I'm not afraid to, you know, admit that I make mistakes. And I really want my kids to have a good memory of me. And sometimes I think I'm not leaving very good memories. So before we hit the road and we live in these tight spaces, I want to make sure that, you know, we are working on our relationships together so that we can really make the most of that, you know, when we're out there and trying to live in a much smaller space. So
I love that. I love everything that you just said. I have to ask.
Yay.
You said that you have 2 children that are with you from Haiti. Is that correct? Is that what you said? And then 2 that were older, and plus the 3 that you already had at home.
Right. Yes. So the 2 that I met in Haiti right after the earthquake. I've been going on trips since I was 18, and so it was a 4-year battle, but we got them home last summer. And then I have 2 that one was a teenager that was in my class when I taught in the classroom, and he was homeless at 15. So we took him in, and then another one that was 18 who had a rough life and really didn't have a family once she left. Basically, it was a foster care situation. So when she left, she needed a family to call her family when, you know, she has important life events. So we're that family for her. So, yeah.
That's awesome, Shasta. I love that story.
So, Shasta, I read, I perused through your book, and I gleaned a lot of useful information about it. One thing you mentioned is because you have seven kids, the likelihood of you screwing up is greater than those of us with less than seven kids. And I really loved your humility in that, right? Because a lot of times, us with quote-unquote smaller families, Mary, Beth, and I both have four kids, so it depends on your perspective what size family we have. But definitely seven is larger, and a lot of times there's this belief that if you have that many kids, you've got it all together. But you mentioned that doing things over is actually a big part of your parenting. How did you come to this realization?
Well, I think I love learning about people's different personalities and trying to understand different people. And I know that not all parents think like I do. But for me, I am a parent that has a lot of regrets. And I look at my life. I was adopted. I had a lot of things that happened in my life. And a lot of my childhood memories are not positive. And so for me, I don't know if it was a personality thing or, you know, just the way I perceived life. Because looking back now, I know it wasn't as bad as I thought it was at the time. And so I look at my kids and I see so much of myself in them, and I see the hurt in their eyes, and I think, I don't want them to remember their childhood like that. You know, these little moments. When we have a lot of good moments, but I ask them sometimes, you know, what's the most fun thing that I've done with you this week? And sometimes they can't really remember. And I'm like, I know I did fun things with you. But it's hard for them sometimes to remember those. And it seems like they remember the negative things more. And so I wanted something to kind of flip that, so that when they're looking at their life and they're thinking about our relationship, that they can have something more positive to hold on to. And redoing things kind of leaves that impact more than just saying, oh, I'm sorry when I go a little crazy. So.
I love that. I know that you talk about in your book how to rewind and restart and redo. And maybe for someone that's, you know, someone like you or, you know, a lot of the rest of us that have something in your background that, you know, was maybe may or may not have been absolutely life-changing, but something that sticks with you from your childhood. And what I find, I always admire the people that don't let that affect them adversely. Like we've all know the persons that you have something bad happen to you when you're a child, and then that transforms you into this person that keeps, as they grow, they get more bitter or more out of control or, you know, or whatever. What do you think the best piece of advice for someone in that situation to be able to really get a hold of themselves and stop so that they can rewind and redo and not let that part of their life affect everything in the future?
Well, I think what was the turning point for me was actually back when I was a teenager and I worked at summer camp, and somebody asked me to share my story, and I thought, why would anybody care about my story? And so I shared about my adoption and, you know, foster care and abuse and divorce and all kinds of things that I'd been through. And when I saw that my life helped somebody else, by me sharing my story, it helped somebody else not to feel so alone. I thought, everything I've been through could have a purpose if I let it. And so I can use what I've been through to help somebody else, which is why I've adopted and why I invest in people who need families and need love, because for me, that's what I needed. And so I made a choice, and it was a conscious choice, and it didn't happen overnight. And it took, you know, years of just telling myself, not always believing it with my heart, but just telling myself, I can be bitter about what I've been through, or I can make things better, and I can help other people with this. So it gives my pain purpose, because without purpose, then pain just hurts. And so if you put some purpose to your pain in life, then you can do something with it to help other people, and you help yourself at the same time.
You know, I love that attitude, because so many of us, you know, there is pain in our lives. No matter what the circumstances, there is pain there. And just dwelling in the pain and not doing anything with it but letting it really eat you is the default, is what happens more often than not. And it really takes a lot of intentional thought and a lot of intentional living to actually turn the pain into a positive. And I'm so happy that you recognize that and then shared
what you learned in this book. In this book, you talk about specifics, and one of my favorite specifics is yelling. Many months ago, Mary and I, Beth and I, took the No Yelling Challenge with Orange Rhino, and we've been not yelling now for, oh my gosh, Mary Beth, almost 7 months, I would say. But gosh, that was a hard thing to give up. Yelling was really, really hard, especially me. I come from an Italian family. We don't ever just speak. All we do is yell. So when we're happy,
well,
when we're sad, when we're asking each other how the day is, we're just always yelling. So,
right. It's definitely a process. One I'm still working on. I don't claim to have it all figured out or to have it done perfect, but it definitely is something I think that really impacts kids the most. And that's a big disconnect. So many parents I talk to, and I see it in my own kids, when you start yelling, they shut down. It is a wall builder, a disconnect. It cuts the rope between you and your kid as soon as you start yelling, and you can't build relationships like that. And that's what I'm trying so hard for myself. I wrote the book as much for myself as I did for everybody else.
And what strategies do you have specifically for yelling?
I think the one thing is doing the do-overs. For us, it really helps because it makes me stop and think, okay, if I keep this up, if I escalate, we're just going to have to redo all this, and I'm just going to have to fix everything that I've just messed up. So I need to stop now. And another thing is we have like a signal. Right now, the kids are just saying do-over. Mom, do-over, that's our big word right now. But we have a sign. I teach sign language, so we use a lot of sign language. So they'll put up their sign as a way to say, you better check yourself or we're going to be doing this over. And I use it on them, too. If they're, starting to escalate, it's something we can do without making anybody feel like they need to defend themselves. It's a, okay, let's stop. And if it's gone too far, we can rewind and let's fix it right now. If it's just one of those intense situations, we'll come back to it when everybody's calmed down. But it's keeping those lines of communication open so that everybody feels safe to speak up or to say, hey, this isn't heading where we want it to head as a family. So
don't you think that for us, when we're in here, I guess the biggest signal, you're talking about signals, and I think Kimberly can attest to this. When you get in the lifestyle that we live and you're in the smaller space, I found out really quick, much quicker than I ever would have, and I may never have realized it when we were in our house, how quickly you realize what kind of a mom you are, because don't you find that your kids, they mimic everything you do, right? So if your kids are yelling at each other, which that's what happened with me, just about the time that Kimberly booked the Orange Rhino onto our schedule and all that, it couldn't have come at a better time for me, because that was about the time that I started realizing my kids were yelling at each other, and they were even yelling at the dog, and things were, and I really took a step back, and I don't know if humility was in my vocabulary at that time. I don't think that I realized how much of that was really me. And that's one thing that I can tell you, Kimberly, when you said that about how many months it's been since we've done that challenge, it's so wonderful to me. I don't really even, I know there for a while I was like, oh my goodness, I've been 3 days without yelling. Ooh, we've been 1 week without yelling. And, at some point, I think after a couple months, I just kind of forgot about it and it was a way of life. But I wonder how it looks from afar, when someone looks at you and sees, how your kids act, that usually, right, the apple doesn't far fall from the tree, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So how do you keep, how do you keep up with that Shasta when you see one of yours that maybe is, has going down, maybe not going down the wrong path, but, has got some sort of a, personal obstacle, and how to help them, by setting a good example? What's your best tips for that?
I think for me, like you said, that was a good question, but it's so true, because I think looking at the kids, especially my two that I just brought home from Haiti, I just pictured this amazing life transformation and family transformation, and instead it turned into what you said. It was like I watched all my kids become yellers and, short-tempered and frustrated, and I was like, and one of the things I talk about is the you know, just doing that groan. And I'm like, why are they doing this all the time? And then I was like, oh, it's because they mimicked me. And it was funny because we made cute little videos on YouTube to show, like, how ridiculous we look, you know, how ridiculous I look as a parent. And so spending what we started doing that really helped was family time at night and just revisiting some of these issues, because sometimes I don't see the way I'm behaving. And if I don't sit and listen to them and ask them, okay, you know, what did I do today that was really good that made you guys feel good? And what can I do to work on? And, you know, I ask my kids that, I ask my students that, and we'll never grow as parents if we don't listen to our kids, because they are going to be the ones that mimic us and that are going to see things that nobody else sees. Nobody sees me as a bad parent. Everybody thinks I have it all together, and I so don't. But, you know, just taking that time to tuck them in at night if we didn't get family time, and just, you know, 5 minutes of, hey, talk to me. You know, how did I make you feel today or this week, if it's been a few nights since I tucked them in, and really listening to their feedback. And sadly, you know what else, too, is this is the hardest one for me, is listening to my spouse. Listening to Chris give me feedback on my parenting for the day or the week. If, you know, it's sometimes I want to be so defensive, but, you know, he's the one sitting there, too, watching. And so sometimes I have to really just stop and listen to what he has to say and his perspective on how I've been interacting with the kids or being as a mom for the week.
You know, you bring up an interesting topic when you talk about your husband, because I know for myself, you know, I get these great ideas. Well, first of all, I put myself to bed every night with a prayer that I'll be a better mom tomorrow, really, and truly, mm-hmm. that I'll be more patient, that I'll be more caring, that I'll, you know, really be able to show to my children exactly how deeply I love them, because sometimes I really do a very poor job of showing them that, you know, it's all, you know, stuck in the grind of the day, but that doesn't really honor how much they mean to me. But I'll right. come up with these grand plans at night and start implementing them, and I will not clue my husband, into this, and he's still parenting in the old way, and I'm parenting in the new way, and that creates a whole nother level of frustration in the RV. How do you get both parents on board with whatever it is, a do-over or whatever?
Well, I think, you know, including when possible, including him in those family times or spending time praying together or talking together. For me, I'm really bad about forgetting what I say. So I've had to get whiteboards for the kids. You know, if I'm implementing a new rule, it goes on a little white dry erase board on the refrigerator or on a wall. So everybody can see it and we all remember and we're all on the same page. Because the kids will forget if I change from last week to this week. They'll say, we're going to try this week and see if this helps. You know, and so writing it down where everybody walks by it and can see what the change is or what the new rule is or what we're trying out as a family, then that really helps. Kind of keep everybody on the same page.
Those are great tips. What, I'm so sorry, I just got totally blindsided by my six-year-old. Yeah, so my train of thought just was completely blown. Shasta, do you also homeschool your kiddos?
Right now I've got one that's homeschooling, and then the two from Haiti I put in school just to kind of get them familiar and to give me some time to adjust to everything.
Sure.
So our plan is to have all four of them and then my toddler homeschooling in the fall. So we're going to start as soon as school gets out in May, we're going to start the summer with some plans and just trying to transition them into that. And so it'll be interesting to have all of them. It's so hard because I'm so ingrained as a teacher. Like, I'm ingrained in traditional education, but yet my heart is like, no, I don't want to do traditional education. I want to be out of the box, creative. Like, I'm like two people when it comes to education. And so that's why I'm diving in and just immersing myself in learning everything I can about non-traditional so that I've got the information there at my fingertips, and I'll just follow that and follow people that know what they're doing, because I know that that's what my kids need and that's what I want for my kids.
Do you find that being a teacher with your background, is it possible for you to have a do-over, do you think, in the, you know, like when you're in the middle of your school day or the middle of your school year, how do you go about a do-over in that realm?
With my students or like
sure.
in
yes.
teaching?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
And with your
I will stop mid-year if I feel like I'm not connecting. I did this when I was in the classroom. I do this with my online students now. But I'll send out surveys and I'll say, hey, what's working? What am I doing that's good? What am I doing that's bad? Don't be afraid. I want to know. You're not going to be penalized. Put your name on it. Don't put your name on it. You know, tell me what I can do to do better. Because I want to be a good teacher. I want to be a good mentor. I teach so that I can reach students. You know, that is just an avenue to reach these kids for me to be able to teach. So my motivation is to just really help students believe that they can learn and believe that they can achieve. So if I'm not doing that, then it's really pointless for me to be teaching. So again, just stopping and getting that feedback and being at a place where I'm open to hear it, because sometimes they'll tell me, you know, you're not connecting with me enough, or, you know, you're not, you know, spending enough time online help, you know, chatting with me or doing videos, whatever it is that they, and so I have to be willing to make those changes too. If you're going to ask for feedback, you have to be at a point where you're willing to make some changes if it's something that really needs to be changed. And that goes for, you know, your job, your with your marriage, or with the kids. You know, if you're going to seek the feedback, be ready to make changes if they're needed.
Those are really good words to live by, and to be able to hear that constructive criticism. A lot of us get wrapped up and, you know, get our egos wrapped up in it. But we know that there's room for improvement. I think all of us know that. I can recall responding to one of your Facebook posts that said, "Do you believe in a parenting do-over?" And when I read your book, I was surprised to read that I'm not going to say this right, but that there seems to be some kind of connection between not doing a do-over because you have to save face with your children. Is that what you were finding when you asked that question?
Oh, yes. There are definitely people, including my my own stepmom. She was like, "We don't do do-overs." I was like, "I know. We're all a little different." And there are, you know, some of my friends are like, "We don't do do-overs. You need to be the parent. You set the tone. You can't, you know, tell your kids that you're wrong." And for me, I was like, well, and that might work for some personalities and for some parenting styles, but for me, it doesn't work, you know. And I am okay with saying I'm wrong, and I am okay with telling my kids, hey, I didn't want to parent that way. I can do better. We can do better as a family. I want to go back and change this and make it right. And so, yeah, there are some that just absolutely think it's a little crazy that a parent would stop and say, "Oops, I made a mistake," you know, and to admit to their children that they didn't respond properly or that they were wrong. And then there's others that just think once you've done something, it's too late. You can't fix it. There's, you know, there's nothing you can do. And I just don't believe that. I think that, yes, you've already done something, but you can go back and create a more memorable moment that they will hold on to instead of that painful moment. And to me, that is more important, because kids have so much negativity in their life as it is, that the more positive we can create and the more positive memories we give them, the happier they're going to be with their childhood and with their experiences and their relationship with you.
I love how you explain everything. It just makes it all seem so easy in a the world where it's not really very easy at all. I know that when you say you do, you know, there's a parenting do-over, and I loved how you explained it so much in your book, but that, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean you're a pushover, you know, right? It just means that you,
right,
you know, have the ability to stop and, you know, say, hey, maybe I'm not handling this the right way. And don't you think that, you know, again, and Kimberly and I talk about this all the time, and we say things over and over, lead by example, you know, and what better way to show them that, you know, than that? Because don't you think that builds confidence and all kinds of other things in them, that, you know, they can look at you as their mom or their dad and know that, you know, hey, they're, you know, they're not perfect, right? Nobody's perfect.
Right. And if we're creating leaders, I want my kids to be leaders as much as possible. And I want them to know that good leaders know how to say they're sorry, and they know how to go to their employees or whoever they're working with and leading and go back and fix things. They don't always have to be right. They can make mistakes and they can still be a good leader. And I think that not having that instilled in them is what creates a lot of problems in workplaces and in groups, you know, even school groups working together, is when leadership can't, you know, step up and say, okay, let's go back. You know, this is where things stopped working. I made this choice. Let's try a different choice, or let me apologize for what I did and let's move forward, you know, back from that spot and try this again. And that just opens up so much more positive relationships and opportunities for our kids to become really strong leaders that people admire and look up to, and, you know, they'll just be able to do more to make a bigger difference in life. And that's what I want for my kids and for our family.
Well, I just love the humility that comes through in your book, both about your parenting and how you're raising your children. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that I want my children to do with their children. So leading by example right now makes all the difference in our world. So thank you so much for bringing your book on Amazon, for putting your book on Amazon. I know it had been free for the weekend when you introduced it. I know that it's available for free to Kindle Unlimited readers like myself, or it's $2.99 on Amazon, and you can go get it right now and start doing do-overs in your life, because we all have the opportunity to do a better job.
Yes. Well, thank you guys so much for having me. And I, you know, if anybody has any questions, I have in the book links to my blog and contact information is there. So if anybody has any questions or needs any help or just wants some ideas, I am always here to help answer anything. So find me on Facebook, find me through the book. Anything I can do to help, I will be happy to.
Thank you for sharing your story, Shasta. It's been a wonderful sharing this time with you.
Thank you. It was great talking to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, boy. You know, I can say that I know as an adult what it is I need to hear from my mother specifically, who raised me, about the mistakes I feel she made. And really what I want to hear as an adult is, I did the best I could with the resources I had at the time, but you were always a number one priority to me, even though I made mistakes. And so being an adult and realizing that that's what I want to hear and have heard from my mother, I share that sentiment with my children also quite often. You know, I'm your mother. We live this everyday grind sometimes. It's not very glamorous. It could be arduous. But you are a priority to me. And I have always tried to do the best I could given the resources that I had at the time. And when I knew better, I did better. And doing these shows helps me to be better and better. Don't you feel the same way, Beth?
I do, and I'll just say, you know, for me and I, you know, we get together every Sunday night, and no matter what we talk about, I always feel like this, you know, this time for me, it helps me be grounded for the week and to really pull it together and, you know, think about what I've done last week and, you know, what I want to accomplish for this next week. And I guess maybe I've been having do-overs in my mind that I just didn't put into action. So I have to say, it's just funny to me how so many of our shows come at the appropriate time for me, because that's just we've been talking about this in our rig all week about, and it brings me to what I was started to say at the beginning of the show. We've just been talking all week about, you know, where we're going and what we're doing. And these last few months that we spent, if you followed Kimberly and I for the last couple of months, you'll know that I had to. We left our rig where it was at in Florida. We went back to where our house used to be. We had to move out of our house that we'd lived in for nearly 15 years. And all that rigmarole, if you've already gotten out on the road or you're in the process, then you know what I'm talking about, like the great purge and the crazy things that you have to do when you're paring down and just all the things that you have to come to terms with. We've done all that. And in the middle of all that, we've had a lot of other just things that had to be done. And so what I found this week is I looked back and I just was so relieved, because for so many weeks leading up to that, there were all these things on the calendar, and you know what I'm talking about, Kimberly. You have, you know, and there's an Easter holiday, and I knew I had to travel for that, and then I had this move, and I had to travel for that, and both of those times we traveled without a rig, and then I mean, we had all these other things going on, and finally this week I just could breathe, and I thought, oh my goodness, the reason I am so relieved is because for these past three to four months, I was thrown back kind of a little bit into my old lifestyle. Right? And
right.
Then now I finally got back home to the RV, and I'm finally back home, home in my heart, and just back to the lifestyle that we've made for ourselves, and what a relief. And I just can't, I'm so glad to be here, and I feel like that we're not even going to rewind so much as just kind of pause. Like, I just want to take in everything around me. I'm so grateful for where we are. I feel so blessed to have what I have, and just, breathe a sigh of relief.
Yeah, well, I hear it, and I know you were stressed all those other weeks, and it was a lot on your plate and a lot on your mind getting those things done. But I'm just so happy for you that you're in this place now, because now you can make good decisions.
Right. Well, me too. And I guess my point is, in sharing that with you, is if you're not feeling that, if you're not feeling that sense of relief, no matter whether you're in a house or an RV or a sailboat or, you know, living in a cave, you know, now's the time for your redo, that for yourself. Now's the time to look back at last week and see what did work and didn't work, and look forward to this week and, you know, to put that in action, because there's no time like the present.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I really loved that sentiment that you shared about taking that pain and doing something powerful and positive with it, because so many of us just dwell in it from time
to
time.
So
if you're feeling like you're in pain right now, then I am going to challenge you to try to find that silver lining and try to push yourself through and see how this pain that you're experiencing, you know, first of all, right away, know that you're not never alone in your pain. There's always people in pain all across this great vast world, and you can reach out through any avenue, the internet, through your church, anywhere, and just divulging that you're in this pain will be the first step, and then from there, trying to turn it into a positive situation.
That's for sure. You know, so many of the things that we've done, and so many of the people that we've had the privilege of interviewing, and so many of the people we've met on the road. I mean, you know, like you said, you can have a bad experience or a bad thing happen or a bad person in your life or whatever your case may be. And you can choose, you know, it's a choice. It is a choice. And, you know, if you're a kid, it's not your choice. But when you get to a certain age and when you're, you know, all grown up, you know, it's time to either, like you said, you can keep dwelling in it and making excuses for the rest of your life and, you know, with all the negativity, or you can choose to do something positive with that. And then that definitely will bring you peace over the first avenue, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Well, another choice that I'm hoping our listeners will make is to spend some time with us in Branson this September at the Not Back to School Road School Rally. I know that you, I got a whole bunch of things in my inbox from you today, Mary Beth. You know, we have a huge list of things that we're working on. There's several organizers and a very large team working on putting this event together. And I'm really excited. I'm really excited. What are you looking forward to most in Branson?
Well, seeing you, of course, the first thing I have to say. What I'm looking forward the most is really just the fellowship of other FTFs. You know, we've seen a family here and there. Of course, we went to the Legoland field trip, but we haven't got to participate in any actual FTF rallies this year. And you know, my kiddos are missing that. I'm missing that. And so that's one thing probably that's at the top of my list, other than the fact that I also love that area. When we were kids, my uncle, I don't think I've told you this, my uncle and aunt and they're my two cousins and our family, my little brother and I, we all went there a couple of times over the summer back when I was younger. And so I have lots of great memories from Branson, Missouri. And I know it's a wonderful place to visit, and it's a place that we'll be able to spend the week. And there's, I know Jill's working on some of the field trips, and some of the other organizers. I'm just excited. It's going to be a wonderful time.
It is. And I, too, am looking forward to exactly what you're looking forward to. Of course, seeing you top of my list and getting our kiddos back together. But in the same light, being able to explore Branson and all the attractions there with our traveling community is really what I love the most, because, you know, we're like-minded and we have the same kinds of perspectives on things, and it's just really cool to connect and then connect during these experiences. You know, there's something to be said about connecting at a campfire, which I love and adore too, but I really love exploring what this country has to offer with FCF families. I just think that's a blast.
I do too, and the timing of this one, of course, last year's Road School Out Rally was in April, and while I loved that convention that we had out in Tucson, loved the area and all that about it, the one thing I love about this year's Road School Rally is that it's kind of, even though you and I both say we kind of do road school year-round, but for me, I always kind of, you know, switch it up. If I'm going to change curriculums or if I'm going to change anything about my road school, I generally do it, you know, sometime in September. So for me, I'm also looking forward to all the road school resources that we're going to have at that rally, because I know I see the list of people that are coming and all the different things everyone has to offer. And last year, Kimberly and I released a road school planner, so I'm already hot on the trail of updating some of those pages and just a lot of the road school resources that we put together that we'll be able to release at that rally is another thing that I'm really looking forward to.
Fantastic. Let me think what's new at Full Time Families this week. You know, every week we publish a new list of the brand new campgrounds that have come online for our FTF family-friendly campground directory. For many, many years, full-timing families have asked for campgrounds, for a list of campgrounds that are not only family-friendly, not only have amenities for their children, not only welcome camping families and their travel dollars that they bring, but will waive the kid fee. If you're not familiar with what a kid tax is, it's that additional person's fee that you may be charged at some campgrounds. Some campgrounds will post a rate of $30, $35 a night, and then you pull in with your four kids, and they'll say, oh, yes, it's $35 a night plus $5 per child. And in my case, in your case, Mary Beth, that's $20 per night. So that makes a $35 campground site $55 for you and I, and then taxes, of course, charged on top of that. So we don't want to do that anymore. We don't want to be pulled in and be surprised, and we don't want to pay that fee anymore. So Full-Time Families has been working on an initiative to abolish that fee, and we are creating a directory of family-friendly campgrounds that will, in fact, waive that fee on our behalf. And every week we post the new ones. And I'm happy to announce that last week we included 5 Jellystones into our directory. And if you've ever camped at the Jellystone, you know they're tons of fun, and they do usually charge extra for kids, so I'm really excited to be paying just the nightly rate at these Jellystones nationwide. Love Jellystones. Do you ever camp at Jellystones?
Yes, we do. We camp at Jellystones whenever we can. Back in our hometown of Bloomington, Indiana, there's an awesome Jellystone Park there. And a couple different others around the country that some of our faves. And I know that you added the 5, but I haven't seen those 5 locations. I'm really anxious to look at them and see how many of them I can include in our travels in the near future.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really, really excited. We've started, well, during the winter we worked on a lot of warm area campgrounds, specifically Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, a little bit of North Carolina. And now that we're coming up on summer travel, we're going for big chunks of the country all at once. And so we're hot on the trail and calling all the Jellystones nationwide to see which ones would want to be a part of this program. And I'm really excited that this program is being so widely received, because it's a huge money saver for families like yours and mine.
It is, absolutely. Especially, like you said, when you go to stay somewhere and, you know, you can kind of deal with it overnight if that's what you're doing. But when you pull into somewhere that you're planning on being out for a week or even 2 weeks and you find that out, that is a game changer for sure.
Yes. And then it's almost June. I cannot believe how fast this is going. But next week we will be announcing our Father's Day, annual Father's Day contest every year. Full-time families host a Father's Day contest, and we name one dad king of the road for the year. And so look for that coming up on Full-Time Families. I'm really excited. I'm working with Lippert Components, a great sponsor, and we'll be hearing more about them in the coming weeks. Putting together a Father's Day contest with them. So what's going on at Road Trip Teacher?
Well, we so many of our study guides are themed, or copywork guides are themed around holidays, and so of course there was talk about Memorial Day this morning, and our campground was talking about the few of us that are left about having a Memorial Day get together, and of course one of my road schoolers asked what is Memorial Day, Mom? And so I thought, oh, you know what? That is not one thing that we've covered over at Road Trip Teacher. So tomorrow, my Road School 101 crew is going to be doing a little bit of research and development for me, and we're going to be putting together just a short, fun guide that'll be for probably kindergarten through about eighth grade. That'll cover just basically what the holiday is, and there'll be some fun copywork pages and some word puzzles and all that kind of a thing. So if you are not a subscriber over at roadtripteacher.com, then you'll want to email me at info@roadtripteacher.com and send me your email address so that we can send you a free guide before we release it, because that's a thing. If you're part of Full-Time Families or a subscriber at Road Trip Teacher, then we always give you at least a 24 to 48-hour period to receive those guides for free when we first release them. So that's what we'll be working on this week.
Very cool. You know, one of the things I realized when traveling was that Memorial Day means different things depending on where you are in the country. And growing up on the East Coast, I remember being a brownie, and we marched in the town's Memorial Day parade, and it was all about our armed forces. And yet, having spent Memorial Day in Kentucky, which oddly enough considers itself part of the South, Memorial Day was a day to honor all of your past relatives. Do you know about this, Meredith?
I do, because, you know, really, in where I'm from, in Illinois and in borderline there in Indiana, even though it is something that, you know, clearly we, you know, it was an acknowledgement of the armed forces and things like that, I can tell you that my mom, just a couple of days ago when she called me, was already talking about, you know, putting flowers on this grave and putting flowers on that and grandma this and, you know, and that it's a, you know, maybe that's a Midwestern thing, I guess, / South.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely the center of the country. Calls it like Remembrance Day or something like that also. Yeah, which was really interesting to see and all the wreaths they make. So I'll be excited to see Road Trip Teacher's Memorial Day study guide. That would be really cool. I'd love to share that with my kiddos.
Yep, we'd love to. You'll get it on Tuesday in your mailbox.
Very cool. Yeah, thank you. Very cool. Okay. So if you're a listener and you have not gone to iTunes yet and given us a review, we really would love to get a 5-star review from you on iTunes. Mary Beth has an amazing offer for you if you do that, and she'll tell you that in a minute. If for any reason you want to give us less than 5 stars, I would love to know why. I would love to know what we could do better. Like Shasta talked about earlier, please tell us what it is that we could do better to make this a better podcast for you, the listener, and you can do that by sending me an email at Kimberly@fulltimefamilies.com, and I promise I won't take it personally. Mary Beth and I will review all of the comments we get and definitely bring you the best podcast we can every week, Sundays at 9 o'clock. And Mary Beth, what will you do for them if they do give us the 5 stars? Well, we're not bribing you for the 5 stars. We want the 5 stars. But if you do just put a review out there on iTunes, what do they get from you?
Yep, because I really don't even look at that review. I just verify that you've done the review with your email that you've used when you send it to me over at info@roadtripteacher.com. You just give me a little email, let me know that you've done that review in iTunes, and I send you a free study guide or copywork guide of your choice. Basically, anything that's available in the Learning Shop over at Road Trip Teacher is yours just for giving us that review. And I have to tell you that this last week, I think, it's probably the biggest week that I've ever had since we started doing that, Kimberly, of giving away study guides. We've gotten lots of reviews, and those are very positive and something that, as Kimberly said, that we like to hear. And so we say thank you to that.
Absolutely. Thank you for those reviews. All of them help us
with our readings and then help us to bring you a more in-depth information for your root school. So that's all I've got. What do you got? Anything else?
No, I don't think so. I'm melancholy this evening. The weather here is so beautiful tonight. It's so beautiful. Like the sunset is, you know how it's like the sky's still kind of light at night, but it's, I don't know, it's just a really beautiful night. So from wherever in the world you are, we thank you for joining us here at Rhodes School Moms. We meet here every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Ultimate Homeschool Network. And if you don't have anything else, Kimberly, we're going to sign off right now. Remember to join us next Sunday night. And same time, same place. And until then, safe travels and God bless.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Rhodes School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to RhodesSchoolMoms.com.